Praise the Lord. You know, you would think that a person would get used to coming up and speaking, that you wouldn't be nervous, but I'll tell you right now, I am nervous. I don't know why I get nervous, but, you know, this morning as I was going through my notes and preparing, just reviewing what the Lord had spoken to my heart, I got a text from Pastor Cam this morning. He says, Bill, he says, you're anointed to bring the word. You know, in Luke chapter 4, verse 18, I'm not going to read it out of my phone, but just to paraphrase it, Jesus was speaking to the Jewish congregation, and he said, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to preach the good news. And I believe that God has anointed me this morning to preach the good news. Amen? How many people like good news? I don't like bad news. I mean, bad news comes, right? The Bible says that we will face trials and tribulations in this life, and that we can expect that bad news, bad things will happen. But the Word also says that no weapon formed against us will prosper. That doesn't mean weapons aren't formed against us. It just says they're not going to prosper. If we will keep our hearts right, God says he will be with us and he'll bring us through. I so much appreciate Fallon, you know, as you're obedient to the Holy Spirit. Because a lot of people, they don't understand the leading of Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes into a meeting, there's an anointing that comes into the meeting. You know, I remember one person said, you know, it's like a wave. When the Holy Spirit comes, it's like a wave, and we are to ride that wave. You know, in the scriptures, it talks about the people sitting at the pool of Bethesda. And they're waiting for the anointing to come, the waters to be stirred, which is the anointing. And when the anointing came, they tried to jump into the pool, be the first one into the pool, so that they could receive their healing. When the anointing comes, it's not like in the pool of, it's not in, like in the Old Testament. We have the anointing here. Every one of us has the anointing in us. But there's a corporate anointing that comes. And there's a Holy Spirit anointing that rests upon us. And when that Holy Spirit rests upon us, man, God does amazing things. And I so appreciate, Fallon, how you allow or you usher in the presence of Holy Spirit and you carry it. A lot of people don't understand that. They don't know how to do that. But when the Holy Spirit comes, we want to ride that wave, folks. We want to be in that wave of Holy Spirit anointing. How many of you have previewed your bulletin this morning? There's some good inspiration in here. And I've just taking a few minutes just to read. Inspire those around you. It talks about one of the most powerful things we can do is encourage others to pursue the plans God has for their lives. God will orchestrate the most complex situations to ensure that we are at the right place at the right time to carry out his divine purpose, and those around us may need someone to lead them deeper into their calling. Isn't that good? God has called us to be at the right place at the right time to encourage others. And you know, this morning, I need to take my wife's advice. About 3 minutes ago, she said, Bill, take your time. I kind of get in a rush. You know, I get notes. I put everything down on paper, and sometimes I go from here in my notes down to here in my notes. I get ahead of myself. So I really need to slow down. Amen? The title of my message this morning is Relationship. Very simple. We're all in relationship, every one of us. Amen? Whether it's husband and wife, whether it's a relationship with your children, whether it's a relationship with your co-workers, we all are in some form of relationship. As a body of believers, we're in relationship with one another, and that's a very strong relationship. But the most important relationship that we have is with Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, your spouse, your family, and then with fellow believers. Those are the most important parts of the relationship that you and I have in the body of Christ. And God loves relationship. God's not into religion. God's into relationship. Amen? Heavenly Father, I thank you that the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me to bring forth the good news. I thank you for ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit of the Lord is saying this morning. I thank you for divine inspiration. I thank you, God, that it's not just a word, but Lord, it's a ministering word. It's a word that will go deep in our heart and take root. It will cause growth in the body of Christ. And I thank you, Lord, that there's a draw on the Holy Spirit inside of me to bring forth what you've placed in my heart. And I pray, God, that each and every one here, Father, would have that same desire and hunger to hear from you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You know, God speaks in many different ways to different people, doesn't he? Some people get impressions. Some people have visions. Some people, they'll just, a verse of scripture will pop into their head and they'll go into the word. And I so enjoy diversity about how God is able to speak. God speaks to us through the nature. Amen? You know, just walking or being out in nature. You know, I was thinking about... Actually, I got to speak two more times today in two seniors' homes, so pray for me. And I was dwelling on, you know, spring and how much I enjoy spring. You know, we get this dull, dreary winter time. And then we're waiting for spring. We're waiting for some warm weather to happen. And the first sign of spring for me is when the robins appear. Amen? I don't know about you, but when the robins show up, I know it's spring. And then the gophers. Not so keen on gophers, but mostly robins. And then it's like the whole world comes alive. The birds are singing. The grass is turning green. The leaves are turning green. Everything's brightening up. And there's such a renewness of life. Amen? And it's just like us in our spiritual walk. There's times where we've gone through dry times. We've gone through a winter season. And then the Spirit of God comes and reawakens and re-enfreshens us. And you know, camp was like that for me. I don't know about you, but I so enjoyed camp this year. There was, to me, I was telling my wife that it was probably the best camp that I've experienced since we've been here in the last 4 years. And there's many different reasons why I say that, but one of the things that I seen most of all was relationship. I seen so much relationship happening out at camp. It was so fun to watch. People interacting here, people interacting during the meals, people interacting, playing, having fun. Pastor trying to ride a go-kart and flipping on his backside. There was relationship happening. People were connecting heart to heart. There was times of fun. There was times of tears. People interacting during times of worship. Hands raised and the Spirit of God coming into the meetings. It so blesses my heart to see that. And I know it blesses God's heart as well. Mandy's going to have a hard, might have a hard time kind of following me because I went from the last three pages of my notes to almost the first page. So here we go. Relationship. The definition of a relationship is the state of being related or interrelated. The relation connecting or binding participants in a relationship. A specific instance or type of kinship. A state of affairs existing between those having relations or dealings, a romantic or passionate attachment. And like I said earlier, the most important relationship that you and I can have is the relationship that we have with Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Everything stems from that. You know, our relationship with the Son of God will affect how we are, our relationship with our wife and our children and our co-workers and those that we come into contact on a daily basis. You know, growing up in a family of 13 kids, some of you have heard my testimony. And you know that growing up a family of 13 kids is very challenging, especially when you live in a two-bedroom house. Six boys in one room, seven girls in the other room, and my parents downstairs on the living room, walled off or curtained off. And that was their bedroom. We were a poor family. But I didn't have that relational connection with my dad or my mom. It was all about work, doing the right thing, that type of thing. We didn't go past what I would call a casual relationship. And a lot of people, that's what we have. They never get past what we would call just a casual relationship. And by that I mean it's like, hey, how you doing? Oh, I'm good. And they move on. We don't get to know that person, do we? Oh, I'm good. But deep down inside, that person is really struggling. But you know what? They're afraid to open up their heart. They're afraid to share their life with you because, as John Powell once wrote in his book, I'm afraid to tell you who I am because who I am is all I have, and you may not like who I am. Isn't that sad? I'm not saying that we are to blab our whole story to everybody that we meet in life, but it's important that we have somebody that we can pour out our heart to and share our life with. Jesus being the number one. But sometimes we need Jesus in the flesh. There's times where I just need someone I can talk to. I don't need them to give me counsel. I don't need to tell them to give me, you know, words of advice. I just need them to hear me and try to understand what I've seen and what I'm going through in my own heart. Amen? And I didn't have that as a young person growing up. You know what? One instance of that is when I was 19 years old. When I was 19 years old, I was in a relationship with a young lady. And to make a long story short, there were some things that happened. And I ended up trying to take my own life. I shot myself. Got awfully quiet in here. Thank God I wasn't successful. I'm still here. Amen? God had a plan and God had a purpose for my life. But you know, I spent 10 days in the hospital recovering. Not once did I have a counselor come and talk to me. Not once. Didn't have a psychiatrist come and talk to me. Didn't have my family come and talk to me. My dad came and picked me up out of the hospital and never said a word. He's like, this never happened. And so I carried all the emotions, everything else that I was going through throughout my life. Nothing changed except that I had abused my body. I was still hurting. I was still hurting here. I was still hurting here. You see, relationships become very superficial. Even in church, we become very superficial. Oh, how you doing? Good. Or someone tries to tell us something. Oh, I don't have time. Well, I'll pray for you. Nonchalant, I'll pray for you. And they don't really mean it. It becomes a cliche. Oh, I'll pray for you. We don't take the time, people, in our relationships to really know someone, to really know their struggle. We don't take the time to really open up our hearts, to want to know somebody. But things are changing. You know, ever since we started this cafe, people are becoming more open. They're sitting down together. They're having conversation. There's laughter going on. And that's what I've seen in camp. People sitting down. There was laughter. People taking care of one another. Oh, there's so many people that I could mention about how I've seen God grow in their lives and how God is using them to minister to others, to bring along other people alongside them. No expectation put on those people. They're just, hey, come on, join in the fun. Come on, let's go to church. Come on, let's go horseback riding. Isn't that awesome? And you know what that does? That opens the door for deeper relationship. Because there's trust built. There's confidence built. There's understanding built. There's love and compassion. And all the things that we need in a stable relationship. Because people know that they care for them. If I know that I can care for you, that you care for me, and you're not going to blab my secrets to anybody else, I will share my heart with you. Amen? But oftentimes what happens, and this happens in the body of Christ, we share our heart with somebody and they use it against us. There's been people in this church that have been burnt that way. And God is saying to you today that I've come to heal you. I've come to set the record straight. That time is over. No more. That was just a word of knowledge from the Holy Spirit this morning. I want to read a teaching. I'm going to try and make this all fit. That I came across, and it's from a Hebrew scholar. And it's in Hosea chapter 6, verse 6 says, "For I delight in loyalty rather than sacrifice, and in the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings." And he goes on to say, when English speakers use the verb to know, we think of knowing in terms of the mental grasp of facts. In Hebrew, the word for to know, yada, is much broader and enrich our understanding of the scriptures. Many languages have two different verbs to express the idea of knowing a fact, information, as opposed to knowing a person, relationship. Hebrew tends toward the second idea, having a relationship with a person, and even in extending it to mean to care about someone, even to be intimate sexually. For instance, the very literal King James Version reads, "And Adam knew Yada, Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain," in Genesis chapter 4, verse 1. He says this idea is especially important when we learn about the biblical concept called the knowledge of God, and that is the Da'at Elohim. A Westerner opens the Bible and wants to prove God's existence and develop a theology about God's nature and would call that knowledge of God. But the Hebraic view is that knowledge of God is having a life in relationship with Him. This is true spiritual wisdom, to know the Lord's will and to live it out. We can see this happening when we compare Christian Bibles to a Jewish translation. For example, in the New International Version, we read, "The Spirit of the Lord will rest on Him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of power, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord." Isaiah 11, verse 2. But in the Jewish Tanakh, it reads, "The Spirit of the Lord shall alight upon him, a spirit of wisdom and insight, a spirit of counsel and valor, a spirit of devotion and reverence for the Lord." What a difference, folks. It's about going from a place of knowing about God to knowing God. Knowing about God and knowing God personally, intimately. Isn't that what Job said at the end of his life testimony? He says, "I had heard about you." See, Job used to sit at the city gates and people would pass by. And as they passed by, they would share stories about God, about the knowledge that they had of God, about God. But at the end of Job's story, after he'd gone through all his ordeals and everything else, and he sat down with what he thought was her so-called friends. And he gets to the point, he says, "I'd heard about you, God, but now I know you." "I'd heard about you, Brad, now I know you." "I'd heard about you, Chris. Knowledge is great. A relationship. That's the key, folks. The relationship part of life. I love you for who you are. I don't care what you accomplish in life. It's like a family. Parents love their children. They love them right at the very beginning. They haven't done anything yet. They haven't accomplished anything yet. But they love them. Amen? They love them. God is calling us to that place of relationship. Not only with Him, but He's calling us to that place of relationship with one another. You know, like I was talking about, why I so enjoyed camp. Probably more so this year than any other year, was because of the strong presence of Holy Spirit each night. Just like there was a strong presence of Holy Spirit here in the meeting this morning. There was. There's a strong presence of Holy Spirit. There's a strong presence of Holy Spirit right now. I don't know about you, but the dew of Holy Spirit comes on me, and I just feel it. It's not some weird old thing. It's just, I know it. I feel it. I sense it. You know, as I was pondering on this, I came to realize the presence of God was stronger based on a few things out of camp. One of which was the relationship that was happening during camp itself. When there's relationship in the body of Christ, there's a stronger anointing, corporate anointing that comes in. Folks, when we get deeper into relationship with each other, there's a heavier anointing that comes into our meetings. Really believe that? I really believe it, and I know it. And the Bible says in Psalms 133, this is from the American Standard Bible, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head coming down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard coming down upon the edge of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon coming down upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore." But it even gets better in the Passion Translation. Do you have that, Andy? "How truly wonderful and delightful to see brothers and sisters living together in sweet unity. It is as precious as a sacred scented oil flowing from the head of the high priest Aaron, dripping down upon his beard and running all the way down to the hem of his priestly robes. This heavenly harmony can be compared to the dew dripping down from the skies upon Mount Hermon, refreshing the mountain slopes of Israel. For from this realm of sweet harmony, God will release his eternal blessing, the promise of life forevermore." How good and how pleasant, how wonderful and beautiful it is when brethren dwell together in unity. When brother and sister are together in relationship, how good and how beautiful and wonderful it is. There's a sweet harmony. There's a precious oil that is released into the body of Christ. And folks, we experienced that. We experienced that at camp this year. There was such a sweet presence of Holy Spirit. You know, we tend to sit in the back, and at the back, we get to observe a lot. And I observe a lot. I like to watch people. Not in a judgmental role, but I just like to learn. And I like to see how people's reactions and interreactions affect their life, in my life. And it's amazing, as we were worshiping Holy Spirit, as we're worshiping the Lord, out at camp, the anointing of God comes down. And you see the presence of God falling on different individuals. Some of them can't even stand it. They're crying or weeping because God is doing something tremendous in their heart. His love is being poured out. How beautiful. How wonderful. Can't manufacture that, folks. But it happens when you and I come together in unity, when you and I become one in relationship. And I know that some of us are just getting to know each other, and we're growing in that. We're growing in our relationship with each other. But I want to be one who encourages you. Develop relationship. You know, it's really helped develop relationship in this church is when we started life groups again, or connect groups. You know, when I first got saved, we had life groups. 20-some years ago. We still have relationship with some of those people from our first life group. Our hearts were knit together. We still are connected. We still see them. We still talk to them. See, God does something inside of us when we open up our hearts and love one another with the love of God. You know, there's seven necessary characteristics for true intimacy. Seven necessary characters for true intimacy. Number one, emotional safety. Emotional safety. Can I share my heart with you? Can I share my emotions with you? Can I be in a safe place by doing that? Or are you going to take what I share with you? Are you going to take my emotions? Or are you going to destroy me with it? Amen? Emotional safety is number one. Secondly, consistency. I want to know that when I have a relationship with you, that you're consistent. That you're not one person one day and you're another person the next day. Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. Sometimes that happens in a relationship. I mean, I won't say anything, honey. Love. Do you love me in spite of my faults? Do you love me in spite of my shortcomings? Will you love me if I mess up? Will you just write me off? Paul had one of those guys, Mark, John Mark. Traveled with him on a missionary journey. And John Mark, for some whatever reason, abandoned Paul. And Paul was, that's it, you're done. I ain't have nothing more to do with you. But you read later on in the book of Acts where Paul writes, send John Mark to me, for I have need of him. See, Barnabas took John Mark and took him under his wing. And Barnabas in the Bible, or in the scriptures, means son of encouragement. Barnabas was an encourager. Come on, John Mark. You messed up once. That's okay. We can do it again. Get over it. We know we need those Barnabases in our life. Amen? We need those Barnabases in the church. Yeah, it was a mistake. Somebody, who was you that said it at church camp, and it's really stuck in my head, said mistakes only happen to those who are actually doing something. Is that true? That's good. That's a good quote. Mistakes only happen to those who are actually doing something. If you're not doing anything, you're probably not going to make any mistakes in life. But I like that. Mistakes only happen to those who are doing something. Praise the Lord. Under compassion. We need to be compassionate with one another. Understanding. Sometimes we have conversation with people and we're sitting there and what we're doing is in our brain we're thinking of a response or some word of advice I can give this person. We're not really hearing that person. Hearing someone is understanding the situation that they are in and what they are going through without trying to come up with a solution for them. It's not your or my job to come up with a solution for somebody else. It's the work of the Holy Spirit to reveal to them. Our job is to help, is to understand. Honey, understand. The only time a husband is allowed to lie, you know that? When his wife is going through some hormonal thing. Honey, I understand. I have no idea what's going on in her brain. Honey, I understand. I know some guys can relate to this, right? No, they're not going to admit it. Mutual respect. We need to have mutual respect for one another. And finally, freedom to be yourself. Can you freely be yourself amongst others? I'm growing in that. I'm not fully there yet, but I'm growing in it. You know, there was some hurt in my life. There was a lot of rejection in my life and stuff like that. And God has healed me over the years. And I'm probably not exactly 100%, but I'm getting there. But the freedom to be myself and just to enjoy life. I'm sorry if you don't like me for who I am. This is the way God made me. I mean, he's changing me, but this is who I am. If you like me, great. You don't, you better learn how. Isn't that the Lord says? Love one another. Aren't we to love one another? Behold how good and how pleasant it is. How truly wonderful and delightful to see brothers and sisters living together in sweet unity. What a powerful passage of Scripture that I feel is somewhat overlooked in our Christian walk. Like I said earlier, camp was different this year. First of all, again, I said I'm an observer. I like to watch people and their actions and reactions and their interactions with one another. How people respond to self-sacrifice and helping one another. How people respond to conflict and team playing as well as how they respond when asked to do something. Or when they just pitch in without being asked. I like to watch people's attitude, whether positive or negative. And like I said before, not in a judgmental role, but in observance of human behavior. I'm watching people not to be a judger. It's not my job to judge. But I just like to watch people. Because I can learn from watching people. Amen. You know, on a side note, yesterday I was at Power Sports, and I don't know if you know anybody knows the owner there, Jason. And we were talking about different things, and he said, yeah, we were talking about the rain, and he said, yeah, this one farmer had come in, and he said, it was doomsday. The crops are ruined. It's the worst year ever. We're done. He said, an hour later, another farmer came in. He says, if he used the term praise the Lord, but he was so excited. Man, that was a good rain. He says, looks like we're going to have a bumper crop this year. What was the difference? Attitude. One seeing the negative and everything, and the other one seeing the goodness of God and was thankful for the rain. It's our attitude determines our altitude. Amen? You know, this morning, as we were having coffee, I was talking to Dr. Dale, as I like to call him Addy. But anyway, we were having a conversation about fishing, and he said that he was out at Whitefish Lake, and he was fishing. I said, well, you catch anything? He said, nope. But next time I'm going to get something. Attitude. Attitude is so important in our life. Thankfulness is so important in our life. If we're thankful and we have an attitude of gratitude, guess what? The Bible says that God will give someone with an attitude of gratitude a double portion. I want a double portion. Amen? I've so enjoyed watching Josh and Michelle, and somebody mentioned Josh this morning about his team at camp. Josh, I just so appreciate it. Now, just for a young man, his heart. The guy's got a heart of servanthood. And Michelle. And the love for the Lord. And he's taken on a responsibility that a lot of people wouldn't take on. But he's taken it on. And he has a good attitude about it. And I watched him as he was going around and organizing things and helping people. And his response was, man, thanks for help. Appreciate you. Josh, that is an amazing attitude. Josh is teachable. He's open. He just jumps right in there. He doesn't complain. You can pay me later, Josh. Attitude. Linda Hart is another one. Just a heart of a servant. I mean, just doing everything. I mean, she's the last one in the kitchen cleaning up at night. Last one at camp, basically, to leave camp, making sure everything is spot on in order again. Thankful. going around encouraging people, has a word of encouragement, or she'll write a scripture down and give it to somebody. Man, we need those people. Amen? And I want to become one of those people. You know, I watch as their pastor and his family give of themselves over and over. Make sure camp is running smoothly. And you guys as well. Sacrifice that you make, not only as a couple, but sacrifice that a pastor's family makes. It's incredible. I was associate pastor in Medicine Hat for, what was it, 4 years? Pastor Ian Bird, who is now the pastor of Church of the Rock in Calgary, and who will soon be, well, he is already, but he hasn't officially taken over this fall as the head of Lifelink's organization. He was a senior pastor. And I was his associate. But not only was I his associate, I was his armor bearer. I don't know if some of you people know what an armor bearer is. But Joshua, was it Joshua? David's arm, not Joshua. Jonathan was David's armor bearer. He looked after David. He protected David. I became an armor bearer for my pastor. I became a protector for my pastor. I became an intercessor for my pastor. Because I'll tell you, folks, those who are at the top get attacked huge in many different ways. They get accused of things. They're probably one of the most understood people in all the world. People take things the wrong way. People misunderstand them. They're probably the most underpaid people in all of work. It's true. Now, it's like the saying goes in a lot of the old religious churches, keep them poor and barefoot. That was their attitude towards a pastor. Just give them enough to live on. That's not God's way. God's way is to bless exceedingly abundantly. We need to be a blessing to those that are over us in the Lord. Amen? We need to be thankful for them because they keep watch over our souls. The scripture tells us that. Anyway, a pastor in Medicine Hat had four young boys, and we watched them all grow up, and they're all great kids. They're all just about all married now or getting married, have their own families. Just been wonderful to watch them grow in the Lord and become their own men. But each year, or twice, two times a year, the salary of a young pastor and four kids is not that much. And so as a part of the eldership team and as a leader, I would initiate that we would take up an offering for our pastor twice a year. Once for the holidays, and once at Christmas time. And I took it upon my heart to be that person that would initiate it. And I said to the other people on our eldership team, I said, you know what? We want to honor our leaders. We want to be a blessing to them. My goal is that we would raise $2,500 each time we took up a love offering. If we didn't get it, the full $2,500, there was times where the church would top it up to the $2,500 mark. So that our pastor and his family could go and have a holiday, a decent holiday. It's important, folks, to honor them. You know, I don't tell you this because pastor told me to tell you this. I tell you this because it's in my heart. I would say this whether pastor Cam was not my son-in-law or not. I would still say the same thing. Because it's important to honor. And you know, Pastor Ian, every time I meet him, he brings it up. Bill, I'm serious, every time. Thank you. You looked after me. You looked after my family. You took care of us. Thank you. He will honor me in front of others. He said, this is the man that looked after us. This is the man that made sure we were taken care of. Folks, I would say that, whether Cam and Candace were not my family, or Ray and Linda were not my family, I would say that about the pastor that I was under anyway. I'm not saying this, and I don't have the authority to take up an offering, a love offering, but if I did, I would. I would, just out of honor and respect to those that are over us in the Lord. Amen? God is good. I need to hurry. Why? Okay, I won't hurry. I'm just about there, though. 2 Corinthians 8, 1 to 15, it talks about an encouragement to be generous. And you can read that for yourself. I won't read it in full. But Paul was talking to the Corinthian church, and he was telling them, he was encouraging them to be generous, even as the Macedonians were generous to him. He said, they were poor, but yet they gave. You know, sometimes we think, well, I've got nothing to give. But we do. We all have something to give. Whether that's financially, or whether that's words of encouragement, whether that's helping somebody in a relationship, coming alongside buddy, strengthening them, we have something to give. I can give of my heart. I can give of my prayer. Amen? I can pray for people. And I don't have to know everything about what they're going through in life. I have Holy Spirit who knows everything. I can just begin to pray in the Holy Spirit. And God knows, and the Holy Spirit knows what these people need. You know, you see, church is, I believe the psalm was talking about us, the church. In 133, how truly wonderful and delightful to see brothers and sisters living together in sweet unity. How truly wonderful and delightful. When there's truly relationship happening in the body of Christ, it blesses God. And the Bible says there he pours out his blessing. God pours out his blessing when we are truly in relationship with one another. You know, as I observed people at camp, I saw the Spirit at work in many of you. People getting together, playing games, children having fun. People interacting with one another, praying for one another. People encouraging one another, loving on one another, people serving together. And I would say probably the best cleanup crew we've had in the last few years. People just chipped right in, just got in there and started doing whatever needed to be done to get it done. Amen? What I saw was relationships being strengthened and new ones being formed. I saw self-sacrifice and a willingness to go the extra mile. I saw the church, as God sees, engaging in love, and it rose to heaven as a sweet-smelling aroma, as unto the Lord. I saw powerful worship and open hearts responding to the call of God to go deeper. I saw hope for a brighter future and a church willing to go to bat for one another. I saw a church drawing closer to God and each other, one that was ready for growth. Church, there's an anointing God wants to pour out in greater measure as we come together into alignment with His Spirit. This heavenly harmony can be compared to the dew dripping down from the skies upon Mount Hermon, refreshing the mountain slopes of Israel. For from this realm of sweet harmony, God will release His eternal blessing, the promise of life forevermore. This heavenly harmony. And I believe, folks, that when we come into that place of heavenly harmony with one another, that place of relationship, of unity, there's a greater and greater anointing that's coming into this house. I believe that with all my heart. On the day of Pentecost, on the day Pentecost was being fulfilled, I guess I need to back up here, excuse me. I don't know about you, but I love the presence of God and His anointing. The anointing to break every chain, to heal the sick, to cast out demons, to raise the dead. I'm hungry for more of God, and God is hungry to give more of Himself to us. Are you ready, church, for the book of Acts? On the day Pentecost was being fulfilled, all the disciples were gathered in one place. Suddenly they heard the sound of a violent blast of wind rushing into the house. From out of the heavenly realm, the roar of the wind was so overpowering, it was all anyone could bear. Then all at once, a pillar of fire appeared before their eyes. It separated into tongues of fire that engulfed each one of them. They were all filled and equipped with the Holy Spirit and were inspired to speak in tongues, empowered by the Spirit to speak in language they had never learned. Verse 42, every believer was faithfully devoted to following the teachings of the apostles. Their hearts were mutually linked to one another. Their hearts were mutually linked to one another. My heart is mutually linked to you, to you, to you. My heart is mutually linked to the children. The seniors. My heart is mutually linked to you. Your heart is mutually linked to mine. It says their hearts were mutually linked to one another. Sharing communion and coming together regularly for prayer, a deep sense of holy awe swept over everyone. And the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. You see the connection, folks? You see it? When there's mutual hearts linked one to another, it says signs and wonders are happening. I want to see signs and wonders. Amen? I don't know about you, but I'm hungry for signs and wonders. A deep sense of holy awe swept over everyone, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. All the believers were in fellowship as one body. All the believers were in fellowship as one body. And they shared with one another whatever they had. Out of generosity, they even sold their assets to distribute the proceeds to those who were in need among them. Daily they met together in the temple courts and in one another's homes to celebrate communion. They shared meals together with joyful hearts and tender humility. They were continually filled with praises to God, enjoying the favor of all the people, and the Lord kept adding to their number daily those who were coming to life. Church, when we come together in unity, when we walk in relationship with God and our fellow man, we walk in a higher anointing and blessing and favor with God. I want that. I want that. And sometimes we say things and do things that have offended people, and we don't even know we did it. People take offense. I just want to say, if I've done that to any one of you, I ask for your forgiveness. Someone in your life, or if you offended, that you need to go to and ask for forgiveness. See, God wants to release a greater anointing in our own personal life and as a corporate body. if we will humble ourselves before God, before man, we will experience that anointing in a huge and greater measure than we've ever had before. I just want to open up the altar here this morning. If there's anybody here, you just need to come and confess something before God. Maybe you just need to get something right. Or maybe you just need somebody to stand beside you. Somebody that you can lean on. Someone who will just listen. We don't have to have the right answer, folks. I don't have to have all the answers. We don't. We truly don't. Sometimes we just have to be there for one another. Amen. I just love you. Kathy and I have been here for 4 years. And we've gotten to know a lot of you. Some more so than others. I just want to say that we love you. We appreciate you. You're a family. You truly are. Thank you for receiving us.